And welcome to the Sportscast, April 26, 2018, episode number 2 for NFL predictions. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube or on iTunes so you can get updates on the next cast. And joining us today for episode number 2 of the NFL predictions Sportscast, Mr. Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be here. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. NFL draft. I can't, you know, you're the college football expert, and you know everything about college football beyond Alabama.
But, yeah, I definitely try to keep on top of everything that's going on in college football, inside and outside of my Crimson Tide, for sure. Definitely excited about today. This is one of the best times of the year for any football fan. The NFL draft is like the second Christmas. It definitely ties us over until the football season begins. So pretty excited to have this going on today.
Now, let's have a little bit of an Alabama twist to it. Who are the best? I mean, who is the best player coming out of Alabama for this draft class?
Man, arguably the best player coming out, I don't think I'd get any opposition to that, would be Minkah Fitzpatrick. Just a phenomenal player, probably one of the best defensive backs to play at the University of Alabama, if not the best defensive backs. Won several awards and accolades, and a man that cannot just be locked down to one position on the field and is very valuable. He can play anywhere, and it's just been amazing to see his development throughout his college career. And he's not one of these guys that who is a one-year wonder that you sit there and you hear about 1 year, and if you haven't kept up with him, you're not watching the NFL draft, and you're saying to yourself, who is this guy? And that's been kind of the problem here as of late with a lot of these players and going in the first round. You hear these one-year wonder guys who have just kind of showed up out of nowhere, and there's a huge amount of hype surrounding them, and they either are coming in after sustaining a ridiculous injury or just were a flash in the pan and expected to do well only to fall flat on their face and everybody scratching their head like, what happened? But this is not that guy. Since day one at the University of Alabama, Minkah Fitzpatrick has solidified himself as one of the best defenders in the country, and he's done so in every single game for the past 3 years. It's been amazing to watch this kid.
And other players that is in this draft, there's a couple of them. I think there might be 5 that come out of Alabama, maybe 4. I can't remember exactly. One of them is actually Daron Payne. What do you think about him?
Absolutely, man. This guy is a monster up front. And a lot of people didn't really get a grasp of just how incredible he was until we watched the postseason. Of course, those of us who are Alabama fans and follow the Crimson Tide regularly are very familiar with what he can do. But this guy is just a monster and just completely devastating up front. If he's not plowing through offensive linemen, he's definitely making it possible to where other players can get in and make the play. So he's very valuable. And like I said, we got to go back to this past postseason. What he did was absolutely incredible. I mean, if it was not for his contributions, Alabama would not have been in a lot of positions they were for success. And a lot of people are putting a lot of stock on the Vita Vea, the defensive lineman coming out of Washington, and Daron Payne is getting overshadowed by him. But I would venture to say, and this is just because I'm an Alabama fan, I'd venture to say that Daron Payne is a much better player than Vita Vea. Daron Payne comes from one of the most physically intense and NFL-ready conferences in the nation, in the Southeastern Conference, where he's going against day in and day out NFL draft prospects and NFL players and players right now who are in the NFL who are contributing heavily to their teams and have made Pro Bowls and so on. Whereas Vita Vea is in a conference who is of course, the Pac-12, which I really feel is not on the same wavelength as the SEC. He's not really facing the opposition that DeRon Payne has been facing every game. And DeRon has done more with where he is at than I feel like Vita Vea has. But this guy is just incredibly strong, incredibly powerful, and has the ability just to take over a game at any moment.
And another player from Alabama, Rashawn Evans. How do you think he'll do?
I look for him to go in the first round, of course. I'll be surprised if he drops down to the second. But I think he's probably going to go in a later part of the round. But this guy is just another testament of Nick Saban's ability to recruit and coach defensive players. And it just comes from an incredible fraternity of linebackers from Alabama. Seems that Alabama is linebacker U. We've always had the ability to produce some of the best linebackers that the NFL has seen, and this is, guys, just going to be another addition to that. I look forward to seeing what he can do. He's a great leader. He contributed during his entire time in Alabama and just really took over this past season, his first full season as a starter and a leader of the defense. And he started off the year kind of rough, dealing with injury, but as soon as he got back, he never looked back. He even played through injury and wasn't quite 100% the entire time, but still posted phenomenal numbers and was able to guide the team to a national championship.
Yeah, I have him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at the 29th pick.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are liking to go to. And with the problems that that Pittsburgh kind of has right now outside of Shazier, we're not really sure how long it's going to take for him to come back after that horrific injury. So they're going to need someone in there right away who's going to be able to contribute and just plug in and lift that defense. And I think he's that guy. We'd like to see him go a little bit sooner, but I think he'd be a perfect fit in Pittsburgh. I think he fits Pittsburgh's identity of having strong defensive teams, and I like Coach Tomlin and his ability to develop players there. I think he'd be a tremendous addition to that team.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, you were saying, like, rookies, besides quarterbacks, other positions, you could really gel in your first year.
No, absolutely. And with the linebacker, you know, it doesn't have quite any defensive players positions. I mean, go back and say it doesn't have quite the pressure as, say, a quarterback would. So they're able to play a little bit more relaxed, but still play with that intensity and with that that desire to perform, improve themselves. And plus, defensive players tend to develop a lot better than quarterbacks do, or as quarterbacks, unless they're a phenom. You usually take a while to really settle in and develop and become the face of the organization.
And lastly, but not least, Calvin Ridley. How do you think he'll do?
I think he's going to be a phenomenal addition to any team right now. A lot of people were predicting that he would go to Baltimore. And now that Baltimore's in negotiations with Dez Bryant and quite possibly may sign him to a one-year deal, since that's what he's wanting to have, speculation is going to be changing a little bit. I think that Baltimore definitely needs a solid receiver, which they really haven't had a guy that can be a game changer and a leader in that position since Steve Smith. But this is a guy that Flacco would definitely need to help that offensive out, which the offense doesn't really have any home run threats on any position right now. And I think Calvin Ridley could be that guy. He could be a guy who could be at an Amari Cooper type level, not quite as athletic as an Amari Cooper, but does have the ability to take over a game. And a lot of draft analysts and folks are downplaying his skill level, skill set, because of the past two seasons, his numbers weren't quite as flashy as people would like, but people tend to forget. His first year at Alabama, he had a quarterback that was throwing the ball around, who was getting the ball to him, and we just had a offense there that, you know, allowed him to excel. Whereas the past two seasons, we transitioned to a more of a running team with a quarterback that wasn't much of a thrower, and quite honestly, isn't really a great thrower, and wasn't able to get Calvin the looks or the throws that he would have needed to sustain those lofty numbers that people tend to hope for when looking for a first round pick. So, but a lot of people are downplaying him, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. It just, his situation wasn't didn't allow for him to excel to a level that he could. I mean, when called upon, he did his job. And if anything, I think he's gotten better as a leader, and also as a blocker. I think he's a solid pick. I don't see any downside to him right now.
Julian Todd, or one of the viewers of this sportscast, hopes he goes to the Cowboys.
I'm sure he does. Julian is quite the Cowboys fan, and quite honestly, Dallas is in need of a home run threat receiver, because they just have not been getting that from Dez Bryant. And during this whole Dez Bryant experience that they've had, I think Dez Bryant is one of those guys who had the ability to be one of the greatest of all time if he had the right mindset. But this is a guy that underachieves and has been a distraction and just has not been a team player. To be honest, at times he can be lazy. And when times kind of get tough, he's pointing fingers. But anyway, he's not an issue anymore. But Dallas has needed that receiver to allow that offense to explode. And adding Calvin Ridley to that offense with a Dak Prescott and their running back would definitely make a big difference in their production. And, let's just face it, Jason Witten is probably one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. But I feel that his time in Dallas is limited, so you can't just kind of hang your hat on him all the time. A lot of teams know that he is the guy who's going to be their failsafe. So he's going to be heavily covered. So they're going to need that other guy to really take pressure off him and also allow Dak to fully evolve as a quarterback. But anyway, it would be a good pick. I could see it. Personally, as a Ravens guy, I'd like to see him go to the Ravens. But like I said, we got our little situation with Dez, which I hope they don't sign him.
I have him going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, which again, that would be a good pick, being that this off season they've traded some players away. They traded some big time contributors away, and bringing Calvin in would be a tremendous asset for them, and especially since they are apparently devoted to Blake Bortles after giving him this new contract. I guess that they're going to bind him for a little bit longer, and in order for him to really become the quarterback that they are needing him to be and guide that organization to a Super Bowl, he's going to have a top receiver to guide them there. And Calvin can be that guy. So that'd be a great fit. We'd love to see it happen. And we'd love to see the combination of him and Bortles and that tremendous backfield they have right now.
And where do you see Micah Fitzpatrick going to?
Man, he could go just about anywhere right now. There are so many teams in great need.
He's like Chubbs. Every day you're a different team.
Well, you can't go wrong, to be honest with you. I don't see him getting past pick number 7, and that's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay desperately needs some secondary help, and I think he'd be a great fit there, and someone that that they can start building that defense around and getting them in a positive direction.
I have him tentatively going to the 49ers.
Which, could you imagine seeing him with the 49ers, a team that is improving and have just added Richard Sherman to that secondary. Man, and he can learn from Richard Sherman, hopefully not learn his antics, but rather more so his ability. Man, that'd be incredible to see that. And if this whole mess with Reuben Foster clears up, which it looks like it is, because it recently came out that his girlfriend, who charged him of all these ridiculous charges, apparently has been lying the entire time. There's a possibility they might see Foster coming back. And if that's the case, that defense is going to be solid.
Okay, let's go through 1 through 5. Who do you think Cleveland Browns will choose first?
To be honest with you, well, let me first say something here. I think this draft is putting way too much hype on these quarterbacks. To be honest with you, I don't see these quarterbacks being great, like they're being built up to be. It's like the past few years or so, we just have not had that great quarterback coming out of college. But it's like, and it's like they want to sell media coverage or papers or whatever. So they're overhyping these quarterbacks to get us interested in them. And this draft is no different. To be honest with you, I don't care anything for Sam Darnold. I think he had a decent season, coming out season, where he did some good things. But this past season with USC, he was so inconsistent, and he turned the ball over way too much. And I really think that he could have benefited by playing another year and polishing himself and just fine tuning and working on those obvious mistakes and showing the people that he has learned. I think it's a real risk. Josh Rosen, I've never been a big fan for him. I think he's one of those guys that's overhyped. And we've been waiting every year he's been at UCLA for him to be that player, but he just never has been that player. And plus, he's playing in a conference that just isn't as competitive as other conferences. As far as Allen, I just don't think that he's the guy that everybody thinks he is. He had a good season the previous season, but this season he was just all over the place and just inconsistent. And also didn't have a good Senior Bowl. Reports coming out of there was he just wasn't able to hit his receivers. He wasn't able to make the reads and just had a really tough time that week. And I'm not completely sold on him. Baker Mayfield,
yeah.
You know, again, this is a guy who's getting hyped up way more than he should. And to be honest with you, he's Johnny Manziel 2.0. I think his off the field problems and his attitude are a real issue.
Without the drugs.
Without the drugs that we know of. But the thing is, though. He draws a lot of negative attention to himself, and he is no stranger to trouble and drama. Does a team really want to deal with that by drafting him in the first round? Do they, especially the Cleveland Browns, have they not learned their lesson from drafting Johnny Manziel a few years ago? I saw that coming a mile away, but the NFL apparently did not. I'm not sold on these quarterbacks. I think these quarterbacks that they're overhyping are more of a second or third round picks. But you know, hey, I'm not the expert. You know, if anybody wants to draft according to potential, they don't get burned every time.
But you are the Alabama expert.
I am, I guess, an expert in Alabama, but not the expert.
And you didn't mention about Lamar Jackson. What do you think about him?
I think Lamar Jackson, is, unless I'm proven wrong, I think that he is not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. And I definitely, and if he's going to get an opportunity as a quarterback, I don't see a team drafting him in the first round. I think that he's a benefactor of playing in a weaker conference, as well as in a gimme type offense where they tend to throw a lot more. But I think his numbers were inflated. He's not a guy I could see being an every down quarterback and just really make it in the NFL. I mean, he's a great runner. He's a great athlete. But the thing is, though, if you can't toss that ball, then you're going to be shut down. And what I've seen from him is if you shut down his run, he's neutralized. He's not able to take over a game with his arm. He's not able to win a game with his arm. Because, you know, his year that he won the Heisman Trophy, the first half of the season, he was just lighting up the field and blowing up stats and whatnot. But then when these teams started making adjustments and started learning what he was about, he wasn't quite as successful. I mean, my gosh, he lost to Kentucky. So I think he would be a phenomenal player if he'd open up to the idea of playing another position, like a receiver, maybe a tight end or a running back. But he's got to be willing to do that. And he needs to be humble enough to say, hey, you know, I may not be a quarterback, so I need to look at playing in another position in order to realize my dream of being an NFL player.
So out of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Lamar Jackson, who is the best out of those five?
That's tough.
Or they're all so bad, they're not worth, not one of them is good.
Well, I would say Mayfield, I think, is a more of a complete quarterback. But that's just a slight edge over these guys. I'm really concerned about his off-the-field antics. And now, you know, Rosen, apparently things are coming out about his off-the-field antics and him speaking his mind way too much. And that can be an issue. I'm not sold on it. This draft class of quarterbacks. I think you're going to find a good quarterback or guy who's really going to solidify himself as an NFL player in a later round.
Well,
I completely went off on a tangent, you know, from off of what you originally.
No, it's okay. No. I mean, this is the question that I would have asked. But who do you got for the first pick? Who will the Cleveland Browns pick?
I honestly see Saquon Barkley going. This guy is just everything you want. I think he's probably one of the best players, if not the best player in this draft. I don't see how you pass up on him. And Cleveland has not had a solid back and for years. And this guy is everything you want. He can run it between the tackles. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can line up as a receiver. He can return kicks. I mean, this guy is just an amazing player. And quite frankly, he underachieved at Penn State, not by any fault of his own, but because of the play calling from his coach. If the offense would have been more geared toward him, he would have put up astronomical numbers and would have won the Heisman Trophy. But my only concern is if he goes to Cleveland, that his career will be a cut a lot shorter than it should be, because he would be the Cleveland Browns, and he would be ran to the ground and just abused. Yeah, they did get Jarvis Landry, which will take some pressure off of him. But the biggest thing with the Cleveland is they need a solid quarterback, which they do not have. I believe they acquired Tyrod Taylor. Am I correct with that?
Yes, he got traded to the Browns. That is correct.
Right, and Tyrod is all right, but if he had weapons around him, I would feel better. But Cleveland just has nothing. And they really need a veteran quarterback there to come in and just really take over and guide them to the next level. And if Barkley goes there, he's gonna be called upon to be the guy every single down. But I don't foresee him getting past Cleveland. I really don't.
And who will the New York Giants get for pick number two?
Well, the thing is that they need a solid running back as well.
Keep in mind, Eli Manning is 37 years old.
Right, but then again, on that same token, they did draft Davis Webb, and with the intention of him coming in the future and being heir apparent, and they've been grooming him to do so. But I would not be surprised if they were to get either Josh Rosen.
Yeah, or they're saying that Chubbs could also go be draft number two for the Giants.
You know, which would not be a bad deal. I mean, either way, they need help, and they need it now. And he would be a strong addition to that defense, which is other than that defense is, to be quite honest, pathetic. Other than Landon Collins, they got nothing.
And New York Jets for the third pick.
New York Jets, man, Jets need a quarterback right now.
Right now?
Right now. Honestly, I can see Josh Allen going to him.
Okay, yeah, Josh Allen is a good quarterback. Well, according to you, none of the quarterbacks are pretty good, but...
Well, don't get me wrong. I know they're not as great as their hype that coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. They're not like, you know, they're not going to be championship quarterbacks, apparently.
No, I mean, I hadn't seen anything. I could be proven wrong, but I have not seen anything up to this point that leads me to believe that they're going to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks, or, you know, people who are going to guide teams to a Super Bowl. I do not see it. I think it's just the media have overhyped them.
Yeah. No.
Never mind.
There hasn't been this amount of quarterback hype since 1983, which that draft was with Dan Marino and Jim Kelly.
Totally different things. Totally different situations, though. I mean, those guys were legit. And
were they good in college?
For themselves to be so. What's that?
Were they good in college?
Oh, absolutely. They were the best in the country. I mean, there was no denying that.
Okay. Fourth pick, Cleveland Browns. Again, this is a great setup for them. First and fourth pick.
What should they do, or what I think they're going to do?
What do you think they should do?
Well, they need to get Bradley Chubb, and they need to go ahead and pick him up from the airport right now and get him and have him on the field.
I think, okay, here's the thing with the Browns. I think any player going there, I mean, if a quarterback goes there, man, your reputation, you better be playing good, because your reputation, you know, could go down the flames really quick.
Well, absolutely. And you don't have a whole lot of room for error going into Cleveland because they got to win, and they got to win right now. So what I think they need, they need Bradley Chubb. They got to get that defense strong. But what I think they'll end up doing is getting Sam Darnold, which, yeah, again, which is going to be another Deshaun Kizer repetition. Same situation. And they're gonna fall flat on their face again with it. I'm not sold on Darnold. I don't care how much Mel Kiper praises him and looks at his upside and all his athletic ability and his arm and all that. You know, there are plenty of kids out there with good arms. There are plenty of kids out there with upside. But I just am not buying into Sam Darnold. But honestly, Cleveland's gonna get him at four.
Poor Sam Darnold. No, I'm just kidding. We won't go into the fifth pick because
I am being pretty rough. Huh?
I like that. I like that. I think it's the truth. The fifth pick we're not going into because the Bills might trade up to the Broncos, so I don't want you to feel guilty if you get it wrong. But from recent memory, what's the most players that have been drafted from Alabama, like in the first round? Do you remember what year or like how many you've seen the most?
I think I've seen the most, I want to say four or five players in the first round.
Yeah, which could happen again this year.
It very well could. This class of Alabama player right now, just tremendous talent coming out of Tuscaloosa, and you can't deny just how what a great job Saban's been able to do in recruiting and then also developing these guys to being productive on and off the field. So it wouldn't be surprising to see that happening, and it wouldn't be surprising to see some other players move into the first round from Alabama. But I don't know if I know that I'm a little bit I have a little bit of a loyalty thing going on there, but you know, let's just call it what it is. Alabama's putting some solid players out there, and it's undeniable.
And real quick, do you think Jalen Hurts will become a free agent?
Jalen Hurts is first of all, I have a tremendous respect for him as a person. And as a leader, you can't ask for a more humble guy and a guy that just does all the right things. Now, as a quarterback, you know, I gave him a pass year one. Of course, year one, he did some phenomenal things, was a Southeastern Conference freshman and an offensive player of the year, set all kind of records, and did some phenomenal things and was able to put Alabama in a great position, and be quite honest, had not been for some of the plays he's made or a lot of the plays, definitely would not have won some of those games. However, I just don't think Jalen is a complete quarterback. I was hoping in year two to see him develop more, especially in his passing game and his ability to read defenses and just make decisions, but I just didn't see that come from him this year. He still is relying too heavily on his legs, and while, you know, he's a phenomenal athlete, he can definitely break free for some long runs. These defenses that he's going against are starting to adjust, and as you saw towards the later part of this season, he was somewhat neutralized, like against Auburn. He, even though the score didn't indicate it, he was neutralized against Clemson. Our defense just completely destroyed Clemson's hope and morale. So you weren't able to really see that. And then, of course, against Georgia and that half he played, he was virtually non-existent. He doesn't make good decisions. He's got a great arm, but the thing is, he doesn't throw with confidence. He doesn't make all his reads. He doesn't go through his progression. If his primary target is not open. His only reaction is run, take off. And if he has no running lanes, he's done. It's just hard for me to see him beating out Tagovailoa for the starting position there. Whereas Tagovailoa is a run threat, but that man can zip the ball. He makes all his reads going through each progression, and he's able to throw with incredible accuracy and incredible confidence. He could quite become a free agent and decide to go play quarterback somewhere else. But to be honest with you, at the NFL level, he's not going to be a quarterback unless something changes. I think he would be a great receiver, running back, or even a tight end.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing him in the NFL draft 2019.
No, unless he possibly changes his positions. but I mean, I'm
running back.
I'm not trying to downplay the guy. He's not showing that he is a solid quarterback. And you, as we all know, you cannot be one dimensional.
Yeah, one of the biggest moves I've seen Coach Nick Saban do is switch a quarterback in a championship final. That is really gutsy.
Which none of us saw coming. I think that's something that we all anticipated or we wanted to see it. But Nick Saban's MO up until that point was to never make a call like that. He would always stick with what he had, and he'd roll with it. And this was completely out of character for him. And it was tremendous just to see him make that gamble, and it paid off, which a lot of us saw, envisioned happening, especially those of us who were Alabama people who followed Tagovailoa through the year. Tagovailoa did play majority of the snaps when Alabama was up convincingly. But if you looked at beyond that and really looked at the intangibles, this guy was looking at every receiver. He was zipping the ball in, putting it to where the receiver can catch it, just making, you know, great decisions. And just doing so with the poise of a veteran. And we all saw that, and we felt that he was given the opportunity, like he was in the championship game, that he would excel, and he did.
Yeah, biggest audible I've seen in college sports or any sport. But we're almost at the end of the show. Let's go for predictions for tonight. Who do you have between the Celtics and Milwaukee? They're playing in Milwaukee, and the series, Boston is up 3-2.
Man, this is an interesting series, man. Both teams are just so good, and have made tremendous strides. I think if the Celtics had Kyrie playing, the Celtics win hand down. But I think the series going to Milwaukee, I think that Milwaukee will probably get one tonight.
Everyone's saying that everyone wants to see the series going down to seven games, and I'm going to choose Boston. I really want the first round to end soon, and hopefully see a good series between them and Philadelphia. That will probably test the 76ers, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the 76ers, talent-wise, are superior to either team right now. The only thing is, the 76ers are playing in a position that they haven't played in a long time. You know, you got a lot of players who don't have that experience. So I think that's going to really kind of hinder them from just blowing past the second round and moving forward. Not that they can't win it, but I think that they're going to be tested and they're going to have to really work for it. But I think the 76ers is probably the better team in the East right now. Even though some would argue with me when it comes to Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland looked much better last night. LeBron's last minute game winning shot, that was probably one of his best plays I've seen in a while.
Right. If Cleveland can just get out of their own way and stop with the drama and all that extra and just shut up and play basketball, I think that they could win the East with no problem. They just seem to have this craziness around them that they can't let go of. I need to see better leadership from LeBron.
Come on, LeBron, get with it. Well, Justin, how can people reach you?
How can people reach me? Well, let's see. You can reach me on Facebook. You know, I'm Justin Riley. But what I actually do, and maybe what's got me on this broadcast series, I am the CEO of 12-1 Training. That's a personal training company where we, of course, provide personal training, but also provide meal planning as well, you know, as coaching and a variety of other things in the fitness arena. You can reach me at 12-1training@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at 12-1training, as well as Twitter at 12-1training. That's just some of the ways. You can also go to 12-1training.com and check me out and what I do there. But yeah, if you want to talk to me, that's where I'm at. And if not, you can find me on game day in Tuscaloosa.
Justin Riley, probably the guy who knows a lot of college football that watches it. And I had to have you on before the draft. Thanks for coming on. And you'd be watching the draft all night, right?
No, absolutely, man. This is the best time of the year. So I'm gonna be making my family mad the next few days by overtaking the television for the whole time. So, but hey, it's well worth it, man. It's this exciting time of year, and really excited to see that these predictions, not just mine but others, come true. And what the surprises are, and then just seeing who's going to become that next big name out there. So it's always a fun time.
Only history will tell. And thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. We'll see you hopefully in August for college football.
Oh, absolutely, man. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Justin, for coming on to the Sportscast.
Anytime, man.